Good morning. Lots of buzz going on there, and that's good. Welcome to Zion. If you're a regular, it's always good to have you here. If you're a guest with us this morning, we give you a special welcome. There are visitor cards in the pews. If you'll fill one of those out and drop it in the offering basket when it comes around, we'd appreciate that. Any of you who have announcements, I'd like to invite you to come forward this time, if you would. This is a very special day for us here at Zion. We welcome back our pastor, Jana, who's been away on sabbatical for the past several months, as you see in the bulletin. This is her first Sunday back, and we're delighted to have her back, putting her to work with both feet this morning. So we're glad for that, Jana. You folks that have announcements.
If you're noticing a certain savory aroma wafting through the facilities here, that is lunch being prepared, to which all of you are welcome, whether you're staying for the church business meal meeting afterwards or not. It is a fundraiser to help with the expenses of those who would be going from here to Burkina Faso in November to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the life of the Mennonite Church in Burkina Faso. So you're all welcome to there. The menu, there is a recipe for what we've cooked up. We've done it once before. It's called Injula Jabaji, or onion sauce. There is a vegetarian version of it available. We didn't cook it quite African strength, but there will be hot sauce bottles for you to add if you want to make it a bit more West African. So you are all welcome, and there will be baskets out for fundraising for what you think it's worth. Okay.
Today is the last Sunday to sign up for Dinners for Eight for May, June, and July. So I would encourage some of you that have never done it before to sign up and give it a try. And those of you that have done it, keep signing up.
So at the end of the business meeting today, we'll be having an affirmation vote on the pastor of faith formation, and we're wanting to hear from everyone. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing is having a affirmation ballot in the back, the foyer on the table. So those of you who are unable to stay for the meeting, we'd like to get your feedback on that. You can put it in my box or in Jody's office by Tuesday. I think I also will put some out on the table on the way in for the meal. So if you just know you aren't going to be there for the business meeting, please take one, put your name on it, and mark your feelings on it. Thank you.
Don't forget, next Saturday is Western's auction. You know I'm an auction freak, so you're not surprised to hear me say about that. But I do hope you come. It's much more than just an auction. It's a reunion time. It's new friends time. Just a great day to enjoy Christian fellowship with others. So I encourage you to come. The schedule for the activities is posted on the bulletin board. You can look that over. I intentionally did that. How does it feel to wait? I wasn't very comfortable up here. I don't know how you felt back there, but waiting is something that we, most Americans, don't like to do. Whether it's at the traffic light, shopping center, checkout line, or even here in our worship. We're just a little uncomfortable with waiting. But that's the theme of our service this morning. Waiting, but not just any kind of waiting, a certain kind, waiting on God. Now, granted, waiting on God involves much more than time, but time is a part of that. And Jana will be challenging us about that. One of the ways that we wait on God is to pray. Will you join me as we wait on Him? Almighty, eternal God, Who are we to address you? We are grateful to you that you have made yourself known to us in such a personal way through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we gather here today in his name, as his followers, his people. We wait before you, Lord. Fill us with what you want to fill us with today. Challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us as we seek to wait on you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's praise the Lord together in music.
Two very short announcements. One is that KLM Flight 651 is due to land in Washington, D.C. in 2.5 hours with Trevor Oyer and Brandon Chubb. Thank you. Second announcement, a note of thank you to Brooks and Tom and all of the volunteers from this congregation who took part in the alumni chorus on Friday night. It was a blessing to me. Thank you. Let's turn to number 120. And I'd like us to stand. If you get tired and you need to sit down, I have no objection, but let's start by standing.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, earth.
a song of praise. Number 59. If I were to characterize this song, I would say it's about God and the power of love. Sing praise to God who reigns above. And number 36. God, a source of life and love.
Oh, let the ocean say,
See, I told you, you got to watch. Huh? Okay, number 486. 486. This is a song of trust. Trust in God, God of our life. Through all the encircling years, we trust in Thee.
God of our life, through all. God of our life, through all the encircling years, we trust in Thee. In all the past, through all our hopes and fears, Thy hand we see. With each new day, when morning lifts a veil, we own Thy mercies, Lord, which never fail. God of our past, our times are in Thy hand, with us abide. Lead us, I pray, through all the promised land. Be Thou our guide. With Thee to bless us, darkness shines our light, and faith's fair vision changes into sight. God of the coming years, through paths unknown, we follow Thee. When we are strong, Lord, lead us not alone, our refuge be. Be Thou for us in life our daily bread, our hearts true home, when all our years have sped. Amen.
Invite the ushers to come forward for our morning offering. And again, I invite you to join me as we pray. Giver of all good, we come to you now with our offerings and our gifts, acknowledging that indeed we are recipients of this good. We thank you. And as an expression of our thanks, help us to give generously. We know you love a generous giver. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, children, come on up front for the children's story. Come join me up on the stage. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody today. Hi. What is this? And how does it work? Okay, I push a button. For a while, I'll have power on that screen. What happens when I lose that screen and it goes off? It dies. So what is this I have connected to my phone? A phone charger. And tell me how that works. I plug it in and it gives power to the phone. So what am I plugging it into? Where's the power coming from? The outlet in the wall. Electricity, yeah? So this little ditty on the end of my cord, I can plug in my car. So I can actually get power in my car, too, to charge my phone. Have you seen your parents plug in their phones at home? Do they go for a while and they can really use it and then all of a sudden it dies? You plug it in your house. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going to invite Ellis to come up and we're going to look at something else that needs power. Something else that we want to have function for us. But we'll see if Ellis can make it work. Ellis, do your thing. What's wrong? It's not working. He's got a remote there. Why don't you check the back of it? Hey, do you see what he's got? He's got a battery. He's got to put the battery in first to make it work. I don't know. We're waiting to see. Can you get the battery in? Take it to Kevin. Okay. See if everything's turned on the way we want it. No? Oh. Kevin, would you look at it for a minute? We had it working earlier, so the battery might not be in it the right way. It was hard to put to take out. It was hard to take out, so. Well, we're going to wait a minute. That car can't go without some kind of power source, right? And what is that power source? Somebody said the word. What's it called? There we go. A battery. Now it's working. It needed a power source. So where do we get our power? Where do we get our power? Our bodies need power with food and with water and with rest. But what about our spirits? Where do we get our power for our spirits? From God. God is our power source. And He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Sure. And make it go, yes. So how do we plug into God and receive this energy from Him? We do that when we come together to worship, when we pray, when we sing and worship Him, when we read the Bible and learn more about Him. That's our power source. So I've been gone for a while from Zion. But you know what I was doing? I was recharging my battery. And where's that power battery I'm talking about coming from? coming from God. And while I was recharging, God was showing me things and speaking to me. He's my battery. What do you think of that? I'm plugged into Him. The Lord shall renew our strength. We will mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. So the key to getting that power source is waiting on the God, waiting on God, and letting Him recharge us and fill us with the power to do great things. Now, after church, I'm going to ask Ellis to be around out in the hallway to run the car for a little while that you can watch it, okay? So, or maybe in the gym that we can move the car around a little bit more. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your great love for us and for being our power source, for longing to recharge us and to give us renewed strength each day. Fill us with Yourself and with the power that You offer. Amen. Thank You. You can go back to your chairs. Thank you, Ellis.
Isaiah 40:29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord and will renew their strength, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you, Aiden. I want to start with this little song. I think you know the tune. It's kind of an oldie but a goodie. Would you sing it with me? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. As I was thinking about this morning, I wanted to, what I have received, I want to give back to Zion. And what came to my mind over and over was, I want to encourage you today. My message is a message of encouragement, because I've been locked away, in a sense, not really. But in that desert time, God has not disappointed me. He has met me where I'm at. During periods of resting, waiting, and listening to the Spirit in my life and working on myself. I want to show a couple of slides. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on my sabbatical today. I want to put some pictures on the post on the bulletin board with some captions. Hopefully, as I visit with you, I can tell more. I want to go to my message today instead of reporting. But I want to show you a couple pictures. It's okay. I know you're up there. I am grateful for this time of rest, and this congregation gave me a wonderful item. This is my gratitude rock that's in my yard between my house and my garage. I see it every day and have thought of Zion. Thank you for the candle that you have kept burning for me while I've had a candle to remember Zion. Next picture. Here's my class at the seminary. I call this Jana and the 12 disciples. And a few of them aren't there that day. I have to say, it was kind of intimidating to be in this building and in this class as the only woman. And I asked the admissions person when I went to register, is it unusual to have a woman in there? Does that ever happen? And she said, oh, I've taken the class, Jana. It's great. It just so happens this semester, you're the only woman in there. I kind of found myself wearing black to class, you know, to not stand out, to blend in. But I grew very fond of these guys and heard their stories, their reasons for going into the priesthood. They are all going to graduate in 2 weeks. Some have been 10 years in schooling, 5, 7. One's going to go back to Argentina, one to Seattle, one to Rome, Boise, Santa Fe. So, you know, they welcomed me, and I appreciated the instructor also and what I received there. Next picture, that was our classroom. Beautiful building, lots of religious symbols and icons that kind of help you through the day. Next picture. No, this is a bad one. This is Craig and I down in Douglas, Arizona with the Knoxes and the border wall. We did the borderland tour and were privileged to be with Jack and Linda and stay in their home. We weren't with a group. It was just the two of us that got to experience that with them. That was great. Next, here's another picture with Jack and Linda. A lot of you know them. They are building bridges with relationships, one human at a time, and it was great to be with them. And one more. Here are two of my little friends that are waiting. What are they waiting for? Kind of. What am I doing that they're watching me do? I think actually Tom Gingrich was sitting there, and he was eating. And they were waiting to lick his plate when he was done. So aren't they wonderful little waiters? So prim and proper as they wait. How many of us like to wait? Raise your hand if you like to wait. Nobody. What is it hard to wait for? Just say the word. What is it hard to wait for? Food, anything, daylight, sunlight. What about when your computer's running slower than usual? I hate that one. I don't want to wait on my computer. What about the guys in our group that do this? No comment. They don't mind waiting for fish. I'm amazed at how many men can sit in a boat all day long waiting for a fish to bite. I can't do it. It just, let me go read a book or something else. In our hurry-up world, waiting for anything can cause us to lose our temper and our good senses more than we want to admit. We don't enjoy waiting in line. We don't like waiting at stoplights. We don't like waiting for dinner. We don't even like waiting for good things like fish to bite. Because we want it now. We want it right now. So this message from Isaiah insists that we learn some of life's greatest lessons while we wait. And I'm guessing a lot of us are in waiting rooms right now. And it can be a hard place to be. But God promises good things to those who wait for Him. So I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah and where we're at historically in this passage. Isaiah 40 through 55 addresses the people of Judah in exile from their homeland. They're living as captives in Babylonia. They don't know it yet, but their years of exile are soon going to come to an end. But at the time this was written, the people were still captive. So the prophets come to announce to the people that God is about to deliver them. When the Babylonians had defeated Judah, many of the Jews decided that the gods of Babylonia were stronger than the God of Judah. So we have the prophet reminding the people of the power of God Almighty. And he does this through questions, through dramatic comparisons, images of an eagle soaring. This passage is the most poetic and well-known text of the Old Testament. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And then the prophet goes on to indicate that not only is God able to rescue them, but he's willing to do so. And God's giving strength to the faint and powerless, so that those who wait on the Lord, who rely on him, will have a renewed energy. The exiles are surely the ones who are faint and powerless. They have no say over what happens to them. But they shouldn't give in to their despair, because God is both able and willing to help them. They need to wait on the Lord. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why does God so often ask us to wait? And for me, during my time away, it was to become more self-aware. It was to work on areas in my spiritual life. And it was to allow other people to speak to me. God is good to those who wait, to the persons who seek him, Lamentations 3:25. He's working all things together for our good and his glory, Romans 8:28. And if we're waiting and we're keeping our eyes on him, listening for his voice and direction, that relationship grows deeper. And in that waiting, we can experience supernatural energy as a young youth, and supernatural strength we didn't know we had. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. We grow in the likeness of Christ and all of his attributes during this time of seeking. And those attributes are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So waiting on him is not wasted time. We see joy and contentment in our faith through this time of waiting. It increases our faith. While we actively wait, God actively works. So think of this. Every single day, we have the greatest mediator working on our behalf. Even when things seem to go wrong, he is making sure that everything is working according to his purposes. Waiting can be one of the more difficult things in the Christian life, but it's not wasted time. It's called active waiting. We are being shaped, restored, and renewed even while waiting. And what I want to say for myself, God will not disappoint you if you make that important in your life. Hey, I was blessed to have a big chunk of time to be away. We don't all get that. We're working people. We have careers. We have lives. But carve out some time, even if it's a day, even if it's a self-care day. Can you say to your boss, I need a self-care day, and get time off? And don't go do the laundry and clean your house and pick up. Do something for you. Do something to nurture your spiritual growth. Waiting on God is something like planting a garden. You put the seed in the ground, you water it, and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. I'm waiting for garden tomatoes right now. I really want one. The sun and the rain nourish the earth. The seed begins to grow. And one day, finally, you see proof of what you've planted. Now, if you had grown impatient and this little plant isn't coming up as fast as you like, and you dig it up, nothing's going to happen. You have ruined your garden. Remember, some fruit takes a long time to mature. And the one who wants to bring it into our lives knows exactly how long we need to wait. God is producing the most wonderful and precious fruit that you could ever hope for or imagine while we actively wait. He is working all things together for our good and His glory. And when things don't look so great in the future, Christ is your strength. When our circumstances seem unstable, Christ is your stability. When the future appears dark, Christ is your hope. The strength of Christ is limitless, and it's massive, and it's yours for the taking if you receive it. God will not disappoint your times of active waiting. We learn more in our valley experiences than our mountaintops. We learn more in our valley experiences than our mountaintops. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So many scripture passages in Psalms that talk about waiting. Psalm 62:5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. Psalm 41, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Life can wear us down. And we're not in the sandals of the exiles, but we have a journey through life that can be exhausting and wear us down. There are simply demands of each day. I heard of a person say that at 1:07 p.m. church meeting, a woman looked at another woman and said to her, I see you're wearing your evening face. And everyone present knew immediately what that meant. By the time we get to midlife, that energy saps us. And things tend to get heavy, and we are out of energy. If we pay attention to the news, we can hardly keep a positive attitude. Amen? There's stuff that takes our energy at home as well. We have problems at work, difficulties in our relationships, worries about our children, unwelcome interruptions in our plans, and unexpected health difficulties. Even our trips to church can sometimes add to the load we carry. For example, I heard someone describe church as the place where you go to be told week after week that you're not doing enough for God and that you have got to do more and be given precious little instruction for how to do that. That's tiring. My words are words of encouragement today. Wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord will not be weary. They will run. They will soar. So no matter what happens, our life is in His hands. And God's hands bear great love. God will not disappoint you if you spend time with Him. Do the most good you can with the time you have. Your final destination is love. That is so beautiful to me. My final destination is going to be love, and it's going to be with God in eternity, surrounded by beauty that I can't fathom. And I want to be on that road. I want to be looking for that and preparing. I want to take a few minutes and pray today for those that feel caught in a waiting room. I want to give time for the Spirit to speak to us. I don't know what everyone's dealing with in their lives, but I know some of you are waiting. And I want God to meet us here. Please pray with me. Lord, we can be waiting to graduate, waiting to come home, waiting for test results from our doctor, waiting for a diagnosis, waiting for a new job, waiting for you to show us the way. So we just want to stand on these promises today that you are with us, that you care about the tiny details of our lives, that you want us to be whole. And I ask that you would strengthen us as seekers of you to find those places of quiet and silence, meditating on your word and being in your presence. Thank you for the gift that has been to me. Forgive us when we do too many things in our own strength. Remind us that you are our strength and source of being. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment. We need the confidence that you will carry us in times of sorrow. Giving us the strength we need. Thank you, Lord, that you do not grow faint or weary, and that your understanding is unsearchable. We want our destination to be love. The God who created you and knows you by name sent his only Son to redeem you, not to condemn. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Amen. We're going to sing a response song together. This became one of my favorite songs during this time away. Please join me. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all. God the glory.
Thank you, Janet. So good to have you back with us. I invite us just to take a few seconds to look at the two candles now here back together. They say something to me deeper than words. If you weren't here earlier at the time that Janet went on sabbatical, that Sunday about last January, we had the two candles together. We sent her off on sabbatical with one, and we kept another one here lit throughout the services. And just, it's so good to see them back together. And as a sign of us being back together as well. And my prayer and hope is that we would all be refreshed and renewed by the refreshment and renewal that you have had, because we are indeed one body. What you shared, Janet, too, reminded me of an African-American gospel mass choir standard. The refrain is, "You can't hurry God. You'll just have to wait. Trust Him and give Him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God you can't hurry, but you don't have to worry. He may not come just when you call Him, but He's always right on time." Thank you. I'd also like to acknowledge, for those of us who were not here during the Sunday school, I'd just like to bring the mic over to a word of greeting from Lindsay Martin, who shared with us earlier this morning from the Center for Justice and Peacemaking at EMU. And I'll say no more. I'll leave it up to you for a few minutes. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks. Well, yes, my name is Lindsay Martin, and actually Wanda and Leon's niece, Wanda and Leon River-Hierley, so we're here and back with family. I bring greetings from the Center for Justice and Peace Building and Eastern Mennonite University. And in special acknowledgement of the students from the congregation that are traveling back from India right now, as well as those who will graduate in a week. We're looking forward to celebrating their accomplishments. Very good to be back. I have a lot of materials left from the morning sharing about the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, if you have any interest in those, and I'll be around for the meal and would be happy to talk further if you have any questions. Thanks for having us. So, and this is my son, Fox, and my mom, Sue, who's Wanda's sister, and we used to live in Salem, so familiar with some of you folks.
Thank you. And we'll have a table on the way into the door leading into the fellowship hall where we can put that so people can see these materials and take some as they come in. And I will vouch for that program. In 2011, I had several classes at the Summer Peace Building Institute, and also while living in Minnesota, I took the STAR, the Strategies for Trauma Awareness and Resilience. And those things, both those things have stood me in good stead. And just one little testimony about that STAR thing. After I took it and became more aware of the trauma, it was amazing how people opened up to me more to share about their trauma, including in my own family, even though there was no sign on my chest that said, I took STAR. But maybe they simply sensed a greater openness and awareness. I don't know what that was, but it was a divine appointment for me. What else can we share and bring to each other's attention for prayers this morning and this week? Yes, Wendy.
Yeah, this is Wendy Roth. Thank you, Jana. Those are healing balm to my soul after 3.5 years of waiting. Didn't want to start off crying, sorry. But that was just what I needed to hear today, so thank you. A little update since we've been home from the Mayo clinic. I haven't done very well. I'm keeping everybody informed because I've been grieving. Her diagnosis, her main one, is idiopathic hypersomnia. This is very rare, to the point that we need a team of doctors to care for her here. And these doctors don't really exist. And so we need a team, this is our prayer, that will take us under their wing and learn about this with us. And we'll be in this for the long haul. And so if you could just be praying that we could assemble this team of doctors that will love on her and learn with us, that would be amazing. It's only been in the United States, they just started a foundation only 4 years ago about this. Australia is 5 years ago, and those are the only two foundations in the world. And so it's only been in the last 2 years that they started a patient registry on this. So there's not a lot of information out there for our doctors to go by and to look. There's 9 studies in the world that have been done over the last, this is only, like in my lifetime, this is being figured out. So it's very new, and with no cure in meds. And so we're treading uncharted waters, and will be probably her whole lifetime. And so if you could just pray for these doctors, pray that we can figure out how to navigate all this. On a very exciting note, some of you have, I've shared with you when we got back, the Mayo Clinic has a pediatric program. They take 15 kids in the nation to do this program, and it was going to be a miracle if we could get in. It would be another miracle if insurance would help us pay. And we are in, and we're leaving in 2 weeks. So it's a month. We'll be gone a month. It'll be intensive therapy. Cognitive therapy, physical therapy, emotional therapy, every kind of therapy you can think of to try to get her back on her feet as best as we can for her awake time. The goal is to get her to function like a normal teenager as much as possible when she is awake. These past 3.5 years, she sleeps 20-plus hours a day, so for us to show up there and have a program that lasts from morning to night, including weekends for an entire month, will be a miracle that she is that she can't even stay awake. She'll be the only child that has us there. The other 15 or 14 kids that are there have other very chronic things. But it's a miracle that we are into this program. I mean, it is a God thing. It just is a God thing. So I just want to rejoice. And for those of you who are praying for us to get in, rejoice with me. And then in the meantime, too, if you could pray for, we need a month of lodging and plane flights and all Wendy's ducks to be in a row before I go. My college boys come home when I'm gone, and just there's lots of life to figure out between now and 2 weeks when we leave. So if you can pray for details, that God would just continue to go before us like he already has, and that I would recognize him going before us like he already has. But praising him in our waiting. We're still waiting, but we've got lots of ways to see him at work in our midst, so thankful. And by the way, she is here with me today. She did not want to hear her mother speak about her, so she's hiding with the kids, but she came for her, she needs her hug quotient right now. So if you can find us afterward and love on her, that'd be great.
For what quotient?
Her hug quotient. She needs her hugs.
Oh, there are a lot of people here good for that. Yeah, thank you. It's good to see Ken and Nancy back with us here, too, from being overseas again with family. Welcome. Yes, Carrie.
This is Carrie Smucker. Some of you already know, but I just wanted to announce to the congregation, I am headed to Ohio State for grad school in the fall. So I am going to be going to a PhD program in math education, which means I'm going to be leaving for 3 years-ish. And I'm very excited, but also scared. Don't really know people there. And so I'll be finding housing and making new friends. And so I would appreciate prayer. Also for my parents, they're pretty sad. They're being really supportive though. So prayer for my family and for the move. We're gonna be leaving early August, so yeah, just be thinking of us. Send me as I'm finding housing. That's kind of stressing me out right now.
And we are certainly going to miss you too. So we have the summer yet, right? Okay, and we'll be praying for people to pick up some of the responsibilities you've carried so admirably for us too, in music and worship. And Larry.
Most of you folks know my wife has Alzheimer's and has been in a memory care center for almost a year and a half now. But this message kind of hit home about waiting. And I go see her, and some mornings she looks at me, and I don't know if she knows who I am or not, but she's usually eating breakfast, so I sit down beside her, and I rub her back and run my fingers through her hair, which she always liked. And normally, she'll look at me and smile and give me a kiss. And this is one thing, she can't communicate, she can't talk, she just rambles. You can't understand anything. But here about a month ago, well, what I do is, after she eats, we walk around the hall several times, and she looks at all the pictures and whatnot, and then we go sit on the couch, and I hold her and whatnot. But about a month and a half or so ago, the couch cushions were soiled, so they took it to get them cleaned. So we went in the room, and I took a recliner up there for her to sit in so she can be comfortable. Well, that morning, she bypassed the couch, or the recliner, and I sit down on the edge of the bed. I says, well, don't you want to sit in the recliner? And she sat down beside me, and just plain as day, she says, I want to sit by you. Well, that just lifted my spirits like that. And then this last week, she's always loved those animal crackers that are red and white with the sprinkles on them, their animal cookies. So I took a Cool Whip deal up, about half full of those. And she was still eating breakfast. And when she was done and they come took the plates away, I tipped that up and I says, look what I brought. And she says, put them here. Now, she took a great big handful. So that's the things I'm waiting for. Sometimes it's weeks, until I find something or something comes out that I can understand, but it's worth the wait.
Thank you, Larry. Is there other sharing? Well, I invite you to join me in prayer, again prayer that will close with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, you indeed promise strength to the weary. Lord, you promise renewal to the faint. For as we have heard this morning, you are our strength. Your joy is our strength. And Lord, you are preparing us. You are a timeless, infinite God who are preparing us for a timeless eternity. And we pray, O God, that in what seems so often like fruitless, futile times of waiting and wondering, that you work in us the image of your Son, Jesus our Lord, that even hidden to us, the seed of your word would take root and grow, that the leaven of your kingdom would grow among us and within us, even in those times when we don't see it. Because again, you are a timeless, eternal, and infinite God. And for such an eternity, you are preparing us. Dear God, thank you for the connections that we celebrate this day, including with the Center for Justice and Peace building at Eastern Mennonite University. And we pray, O God, for Lindsay's work and for the work of all of the people there who are indeed spreading the leaven and the seed of your kingdom of peace throughout this world. And grant, O God, that if there are any among us hearing the call to such work, that you would indeed speak to them and we would hear and encourage and support. O God, for our business meeting, the church business meeting, the discernment of the future, we pray, asking that that gentle, peaceable wisdom that you promise would guide us in the course of this meeting. And thank you again for all who are presenting themselves for service, O Lord, that you would bless their service, their leadership, and our following as well, and our support. Dear Lord, we thank you for the help that has come for Wendy, for Jacqueline, for the Roth family. And indeed, O God, no one would have asked for the trials that they face. And we grieve with them. We weep with them and what they have had to endure and wonder and care about. But we also rejoice with them with the insight and the help that they have been given. And Lord, we pray with Wendy and the family and Jacqueline for that team of doctors who would indeed come around and help and grow and learn through all this. And the time that, again, they will spend at the Mayo Clinic in just a few weeks, make that a time of blessing, encouragement, and renewal of insight and breakthrough for them, we pray. Grant them the friends, the resources that they would need at every step of the way. Dear God, thank you for Carrie, for the recognition of her gifts and the way that she has put them to use here in the community and in this congregation. And we pray that as you have called her to something ahead for more studies, we pray also that you would bless and guide her and grant her the friends that she needs and the help with every step of this transition. And we pray, O God, that we would indeed see how we are mutually blessed in this part of the kingdom here and that part of the kingdom there around Ohio State University. Your blessing upon her, we pray. And dear God, for Betty, Larry's wife, as our capacities, either mental or physical, dim, we are still held firmly in your hands. Our life is hid in you to be revealed when you come. Grant Larry and all of us, and Betty as well, the assurance of that Nothing and no one entrusted to you is ever lost, but held and always in your care. And gracious God, for the meal that we will be sharing, we pray that you bless the food and the sharing, the fellowship, to the strengthening of our bonds with each other and with you. And indeed, may the fruits and results of it also strengthen our connections with churches around the world, for which we pray. We are one body. And for those churches, again, and communities facing persecution, poverty, and great suffering, we pray that as part of the body with them, our blessings would help them, as well as the riches of their faith, helping and encouraging us. And Lord, as you bring Brandon and Trevor home as well, we pray that we would be open to all that they have learned, that indeed they would grow in your grace through all that they have been given and have shared and done, and we would grow with them too. All this, Lord, we pray to you, the head of this body, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As our sending song, let's turn to the purple book. Sing the story. Let's sing number 99, and we'll sing verses 1 and 5. Please stand.
Oh.